And hello and welcome. Hello there, Vince. Welcome, everyone, to our third day and final day of MMVC 15. Time sure goes quickly when you're enjoying yourself, and I've been really enjoying myself. This is the fourth annual Moodlemoot, and we're getting ready for MMVC 16, and I'm hoping that you'll be there as well. So to get to the first session of the day, yep, that's Vince. Okay, these, so far you've seen quite a few of the presenters. They are indeed from around the globe, which is really heartwarming. Van Stevens is based in his home, I believe, in the UAE, which is the United Arab Emirates. Oh, it keeps changing, right? So I don't know how. Emirates, right. United Arab Emirates. So it's correct. And if you don't know Vince, you certainly should. He's been connecting with educators from around the globe, specifically English language teachers, but not only. And getting all of us, including myself, involved in learning together. Finally, it started out as webheads and then webheads in action. And now it really does fit what Vance has been doing all these years. And I believe it started in 2001, if I'm not mistaken. And that is Learning Together, which is a weekly event that happens in different places. Right now it's happening here. Actually, this is Learning Together. I'm going to let Vance take over. And yeah, you'll get the idea. All right. So thank you, Vance. Thank you for joining us and making Learning Together part of MMVC.
Okay, well, thanks for that wonderful introduction. It's always a pleasure to be with Nelly and all our PLN, I suppose. We have overlapping connected PLNs. Nelly mentioned that we started Webheads in Action in 2001. That's technically correct. It was for a 2002 EVO session, Electronic Village Online, but it actually started in 2001. A lot of people, some people who are in the chat, for example, I saw Rita, 2001, probably 2002 session. So in 2010 or 9 or something like that, we kind of decided to make, we had been meeting online every week since that time, actually, with the student group, 1998, and we just decided to formalize that gathering with Learning Together. And so this is a Learning Together day. And yeah, okay, looks like someone, Basum Marmar from Tunisia, is here from. Yeah, I went there in 2004, I believe, and gave talks about, well, they wanted me to talk, to train the teachers in e-learning then, and I kept asking them, what kind of e-learning do you want me to train you in, and because they were implementing some kind of system that they wanted to understand better, so I thought, well, e-learning, this is blogs and things like that, so I brought a lot of tools, assuming. Didn't really understand how important they were at the time. They were just a little bit at the cutting edge at that time in 2004. But anyway, I certainly enjoyed 2 weeks with those wonderful students. And Peggy is here, proud to be a webhead. Thanks very much. I'm very proud that Peggy George is a webhead. She's a powerhouse educator in her own right. And I missed seeing her at the ISTE conference in Philadelphia just recently. And that, I guess, is... well, first of all, I have to introduce Learning Together today, August 9th, 2015. I always give the date in my recordings. And this is a Learning Together session that happens to segue with Moodle Moot Virtual Conference 15, Ellie's project. So anyway, I gave this, I've been giving this talk. It's about teaching writing using voice tools on mobile devices and iPads and basically mobile devices. And I gave a workshop at the ISTE conference, before the ISTE conference started, actually, with a couple of colleagues. And my part of it was who was this teaching writing using voice tools on mobile devices and iPads. And so actually there's a link on the on that first slide to the ISTE, to the workshop that we gave. Now, the interesting thing about a workshop, a face-to-face workshop, if you're giving an online presentation, it has to be a little different. Move on to the slides. Okay. So this presentation is not exactly what I talked about. First of all, I keep learning more about the topic, and so I keep improving the presentation. As I learn more, as people, actually I learn some things from the people at the workshop that formed this presentation. But basically what it is, it's going to cover how we can help writers find their voice on mobile devices and the rationale for using voice in writing. Those things are one slide each. And then we're going to talk about parts of the writing process, especially brainstorming with Google Docs Story Builder. I don't know if any of you or many of you have heard of Google Docs Story Builder, but it's a really fun tool that I hope to show you, hope to be able to show you in a screen share with some sound. Going to do talk about voice composition and feedback in Google Docs, and how we can import content into Google Docs. It used to be difficult to import pictures. Now it's easy. But anyway, now that it's even easier, it's easy to import word clouds into mobile apps. And then we're going to talk about drag and dictation, and also Dictanote on the PC. Dragon Dictation is on the iPad. For iPad. And Dictanote is something I use on the PC. So anyway, let me move on a little bit here, because this next slide is going to show you, just talk about the apps we'll cover, the apps and the websites. First of all, when I'm doing this with people in a face-to-face environment, I use today's Meet to get people to communicate. And by face-to-face environment, I mean in my classroom, for example. So if I want students to create a dialogue in Docs Story Builder, then they'll put the link in today's Meet and we can all see them. That's something I tried to do at the ISTE conference. I don't think you really have to do it here, but I did set up, because we have the synchronous text chat here, so, and I don't think you'll be creating any stories. But I did create today's Meet anyway, because it's an important tool for this kind of thing. If you're using Docs Story Builder, one way to get students to share their websites is using today's Meet. And Docs Story Builder, by the way, is not an app. It's an actual website. But the other things are apps. Google Docs and Google Drive have apps. And, of course, Chrome is an app as well on a mobile device. And there's a Word Clouds app, which I'll show you, and then Dragon Dictation app, and a really neat Dictanote, which you can use on PC to talk into the PC. So we're talking about putting our voices in writing. And first of all, the next really important thing, which you really need to know, is http://slideshare.net/vanss. There you'll find all my slides, most of them anyway. I'm putting my slides either in Google Slides or in SlideShare. My slides are all there. And incidentally, if you go, don't worry about that long link, because I don't think you can reach it from here. But if you go to my account in SlideShare.net, that's S, then you can get the SlideShare, the slides on the screen, and all the links will work. So there's an interesting little aside on SlideShare. Interestingly, the links don't work on the first three slides. So if you put up your own slide shares and you want your links to work, don't put any links on the first three slides. But in the fourth slide, the slides start working. I don't know why that, I don't know if it's a bug or a feature, SlideShare. Anyway, okay, so to move on, this is how writers find their voice on mobile devices. Now, probably, just out of curiosity, I mean, I wonder, you could put yes or no in the text chat in answer to this question. I could put poll, but I don't think I'll bother. But just, I'm curious, if you use voice a lot on your mobile device, on your, if you have an iPad, you'll find it. Whenever you have a keyboard, there's a voice on the keyboard. Okay. That Bob Howard says yes. Okay. So it doesn't always occur to people to use the voice. For example, in the picture you see here, I'm titling a document by clicking on the voice app and reading into it. Voice activation on iPad, and that comes out real fine to title the document. And of course, in your mobile phone or the Android device, you have always have a microphone on the keyboard. Me, I like whenever possible to speak my text messages, but if you know, I can't do that because it's intrusive for other people, I might not. But anyway. It doesn't really occur to people that there are so many ways to use those voice features, especially since it's kind of difficult to type on an Android device or on an iPad. So now, this is interesting. I happened to be at a presentation at TESOL Arabia. Ayat Tawel was there next to each other in Lindsay Clanfield's presentation, and he was talking about rediscovering writing, what's happening to writing. His presentation is online. If you go into the slideshare.net, you can click on that link and it will take you to his presentation. He's an open access kind of guy, like many of us. And he says that the communicative approach to language teaching has been giving much value on the oral skill. And in the last 30 years, he says that classroom teachers, language teachers, have been devoting more time to class and speaking, which is generally a good thing, he says. Writing, however, has not seemed as interesting as speaking and has not been getting that much attention. However, due to technological developments, we're now writing a lot more than we used to, but there's a new writing mode, and using the tools available to us, the voice tools, are you know, they're a natural approach to writing, because writing itself has gone from something that possibly we all learned to write in a more prescriptive mode. But nowadays, there's texting. We shortcut. Texting is basically what things sound like, and especially if you live in an Arabic country, for example, they'll text in Arabic, and you basically get in English characters what words sound like. So there's writing is becoming oral, and it goes back to the first writers were scribes who wrote on scrolls, and writing was a technical skill, and the person who was doing the communicating used to probably someone who's very important, probably someone who made laws and wanted to make declarations. He would rely on the technician to write down what he said and then unravel the scroll and read it out to people. So that's basically where writing began. It wasn't something everybody could do. So now that we're going, so we've rooted this skill of writing in an oral tradition, and we're just going back to it. It seems something we can get our minds around. So a neat tool that I found is actually from Lindsay Clanfield's presentation. I got introduced to it in his workshop. But it's a tool that I've been using with students and having a lot of fun with it. You can build stories. It connects with Google Docs in some way, but basically you can create a story in pairs. You can either type or read in your story. By the way, in my presentation, I'll be making the point that as a foreign language teacher, teaching English as a foreign language, my students are not always able to make the voice activation tools work. So I do some workarounds on that. For example, I might have them write something, a first draft of something during a class period, and then I'll read it back into a Google Doc for them, and then they can work on that on their iPads. So if they can't read it themselves, I can use the voice capabilities to quickly get it back into a document for them. But anyway, basically, in the brainstorming stage, Google Docs Story Builder is a lot of fun. You can Google it, first of all. Just Google Docs Story Builder, and you'll land on that URL, so it's not hard to find. You can, once you've started there, the students add characters. Like two characters is usually the right amount of characters. And then you write the story, and then you add music, and you finish up, and you get the URL from it. Let's look at it a little more deeply. Perhaps some of you are Googling it now. Is anybody going to it? Is anybody following us along and doing what we're doing? I have some examples here. Now then, I'm going to try the screen share. And does that work? Oh, sorry, did that work okay? Because if it does, I'll play you one more example. Okay, let me give you one more. And the students are building the dialogues, and at the end of it, they get basically a brainstorm. And they can use that. They're writing IELTS essays. IELTS essays, one of the genres, is advantages and disadvantages. Okay, I'll turn the sound down a little bit on this one, but we'll do one more. Does that sound okay? Yes, there was Saeed and Mohammed in that one, and as you saw, they were making a story. It takes them about 15 or 20 minutes to do that, and they kind of enjoy doing it. So they get some ideas. So they can either type or they can speak using the little microphone on the keyboard. They can speak into it or type into it. So that's kind of a fun thing that, and by the way, though, you should understand that the sound doesn't play on an iPad, but it plays well on a PC. So my students happen to have iPads, so they create their stories on the iPad. They share their stories then on today's Meet, or sometimes they just put the URL in a Google Doc, and I put them into a wiki, and then they can hear each other's stories. And we play them in class on a PC. Okay, so moving on to the next slide. If you have any questions, just put a question in the text chat. I can always come down and take it. So so basically, let's see. This is a slide that just tells you what I just told you, so I'm going to move on to the next one. And in the next slide, you'll see that there's, this is an aside on today's Meet. If you're using today's Meet, it's something that's quite easy to set up. I've got one. This is the one I used for the ISTE conference, but I've got one set up today called MMVC15AUG9. That's MMVC15 August 9. And to set up a date today's meet, you simply go to the website todaysmeet.com, put in a unique identifier for it that people can remember, and then you don't really have to sign in at all. And to start it off, you have to give a nickname. And then once you've given a nickname, you can write messages. Everybody can do that. There is one set up right now, and it's at, as I said, MMVC15AUG9. So if you go there, you could chat with each other, actually, to see how it works. And the posters are identified. So in a class, it works well because people put a nickname that you know, then they'll identify themselves. And the meets, you can set it up to last for a day, I think maybe even an hour. up to a month. After a month, they'll decide. Okay, so if you want to use Google Docs Story Maker, there are some tutorials online. If you Google them, you'll get better tutorials than I prepared, but if you go to slideshare.net/advancedS, you can find the link to that Google Doc, and that will take you to the tutorial. I don't think I'm going to have time to go into that, but it's good to look at a tutorial beforehand because the students need to use carriage returns in their dialogues, and they need to know how basically it works. So once you see how it works, then it works well for them. But you really need to look at a tutorial and start using it after that. Okay, Peggy George asks, how do you use Today's Meet along with Story Builder? Wouldn't you do your creating together right in Story Builder? Well, Story Builder is good for two people to, you compare the students in class and they will write the story. In fact, I had a group of students who decided they wanted to be three and they found it really hard to make a three-person dialogue. They stumbled over it. So two people can sit down and crash out a brainstorm on Story Builder. And at the end of the process, you can generate a URL. It will give you a Google URL, or it will also allow you to share it in Google Plus. It doesn't have to be just two, but I find it works best with two. So when they've got the link, they have to share that link somehow, or they can share it with you in Google Plus. That actually is not as easy as it sounds. I mean, it puts it there, but then it's actually in your Google Plus stream. So not everybody wants their stories to be in their Google Plus stream. So if you get the link, you just paste the link somewhere, and Today's Meet is a good place for people to collect links of that nature, you know, things that you want to share with the class on the fly. Okay. Yes, Peggy understands. Good. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, that's right. And Today's Meet lets you collect all the URLs very easily. I'm sure there are other tools for that. Like I say, sometimes I have the students use Google Docs. They have them doing something else, just put a link in a Google Doc. I collect the links and I put them in a wiki. We have a wiki portal. Could be any portal. Could be a Blackboard portal or Moodle portal. So you can collect their links and put them there. Then everybody in the class can see what everybody does. And when we usually, as I mentioned, the sound doesn't come out on the iPad, so what I usually do is I'll pull those up and play them in class, and they all enjoy it. They think it's great, the music that they've chosen. You get lots of choices of music, some more schmaltzy than others. And so anyway, but it's a lot of fun. So, and of course, then they get to see their ideas. Thanks. Rob put in the Today's Meet URL. So if you want to go there and see how it works, you can see what another back channel looks like. Today, conveniently, we have this one here in IQ. Okay, so going on to the next topic, I think, the Google Docs and Google Drive. Were you aware that there are different apps necessary for Docs and Drive? If you download the Drive app on your computer and you try to create a document, the iPad or the Android device will prompt you to download the Docs app. At the moment, they're separate. Google Drive is an app for, kind of works like Dropbox. And Google Docs is for creating documents and storing them in your Google Drive. So they work together. Okay, so here's an iPad views of Google Docs and Google Drive. So the two work together. They work seamlessly once you've got them both installed. But they are, just keep in mind, they are separate. Yeah, similar on a tablet, of course. Yeah, the Android devices will be very similar. So here are iPad views of Google Docs and Google Drive. It looks like on an iPad. Actually, this is there's some colored dots there because I made this variations. Basically, you can click on text, autocorrect, you can add comments, things like that. Okay, so we'll look at those features in a little more depth. Okay, when I teach writing using Google Docs, I cheat a little bit. I use my PC for the organizational work, and the students work on iPad. And the iPad apps are quite different from the PC, what's called a desktop version. They both have limited and enhanced functionality. Each has its own affordances. I'll try to explain those a little bit. Typing is especially difficult on an iPad, and that's why I tried to see how we can use continuous speech recognition tools. And continuous speech recognition is the hard one to develop, and that is when you talk and the recognition engine figures out what you're saying and writes it in. They've really gotten to be pretty good these days, although not perfect, which is another problem. And especially for when you, if your students are foreign language students, I find they don't really work very well for them. For them to the continuous speech recognition. But anyway, if you're using an iPad, you might want to know how to create and share a document. I'll just run through that because it's in my slideshow. There's a little blue plus sign, and click on that. And that will, once you've launched the app, then I find it's very important when you look at in your drive, you don't always, the files on the PC and on the iPad app they appear differently. You might not necessarily see the name of the student. You might see the student's Google name, Google Drive names. You might not be able to recognize the name of the student from your list of shared documents on your PC or your tablet device. So it's important that you have a nomenclature system. So I try to have students write their name and for them, because then they'll, in their files, they'll have a lot of students, they'll have a lot of files that they need to distinguish. So I give them a name for the thing that they're working on so that they can distinguish their documents. So the nomenclature should have at least their name and the topic. By the way, welcome, Rob, to today's meet. And Nelly is at today's meet. Nevis is there from Italy. So I'm not going to interact there, but anyway, I can see that people are interacting amongst each other. Okay, so once you've created your document, you share it. You'll find in the upper right corner the familiar three dots. Click there, you see share and export. And that will open up a submenu, one of those is share, so you think that's an extra click. You press the shared icon, and then share it with your teacher, basically. That's me, my Gmail address, so my students share with me. And one nice thing about Google, whether you're on a PC or a tablet, you get a picture, get your avatar picture there, and the students know that they've done it correctly. And of course, if you're working with students, make sure that editing rights over the files. Okay. All right. So now, the two editing tools I use in Google Docs, I used to highlight things. I used to do all kinds of things. I've gotten them all down to two. Basically, I use the comment tool and the strikeout tool. Those are the only tools I need. Now, the comment tool on a PC is Control-Alt-M. So if you highlight a word or a phrase and you press Control-M, a comment window opens right away, and you can write in that comment window. It's very fast. I find that, especially, as you know, writing is really difficult to correct. It's very time-consuming, but so the shortcuts really help. The strikeout tool is the other tool I use. And by the way, when I make a comment instead of any other kind of correction, it makes the students go to the comment, figure out what's wrong, and go back into the text and correct things. And when I used to put things in red or tell them what to change, they didn't always respond to that. But if they're going to respond, they have to respond in a meaningful way to the comment. The strikeout tool on a PC, you highlight the word, like, for example, were on the screen, and Alt-Shift-5 will strike through that word. That's very quick. It's a lot faster than pulling down a menu or trying to find a format for that. So just a shortcut, Alt-Shift-5. On the iPad, it's a little bit more difficult. You see an iPad view here. You have to let's see, you have to press on the word, select it, so it highlights, select the word, and then you have to go into, find the format screen, pull that down, and press the strike through icon. So that's a little bit complicated. Neva says she uses color codes with her students. In Google Docs, Neva? Because in, she does, okay. Yeah. If you have a color code scheme that your students understand, that might be a good technique. But anyway, so basically I've got mine down to two. Control Alt M for comment and strike through Alt Shift F5. Okay, so more Google Doc tips. I like to keep my files organized. You know, actually the Google Docs used to be set up where you actually moved files into folders. That doesn't happen anymore. The folders are basically tags, but you can see the tagged folders and you can organize things hierarchically. But because you're tagging them, they no longer move from places that you move them from. You don't actually move them because they stay in the place they were. So, for example, if you look in your shared with me, if I have a student do an assignment and share them with me, I can always find the most recent files in the shared with me. There's also recent defined files. These are in your sidebar in Live. If you organize things, you can usually go, for example, if I'm looking for Section 1 air shows, I can click there and I'll find all their files. Now, another really neat thing you can do with the with Google Docs is you can search for things in Google Docs. And for example, you know, that deja vu feeling you get when you read something, and, oh, I read this before, whose was it? Well, you can just put the, you know, here's one that was starting, this letter started regarding my registration. So I put that in, and I find that several students essentially copied the same thing from one another. And usually when I point that out to them, they think I'm very powerful and omniscient, and they stop plagiarizing. So that's turned out to be a really nice feature. And then also, if you're looking for something, you can find what you're looking for very easily. So here's a PC view of feedback that I give in Google Docs. In the PC view, you have all your familiar icons, like you have a word processor. You can make comments there if you want. Students can reply to the comments. Sometimes they do. You can use Control-Alt-M to leave comments. And the comments that you leave are highlighted, so the student clicks on the yellow highlight, and then it opens the comment. And also, red and green underscores are active on the PC. For example, here you can see when pointing to where the student built student, and you can right-click on that, and it will give him the correct right. And that's a really nice thing. Okay, on the iPad or on the tablet, it's a little bit different. You have a very limited tool set. But you have voice, which is turns out to be a really neat thing. One really neat thing about that voice is that you can walk around the room with your tablet, and the students are working on their tablets or whatever they're working on, and you can walk around and you can kind of look at their writing on your tablet, and you can make a comment on the... On the iPad now, it's quite easy to make a comment. There's actually a plus that you click on it and you can leave a comment. Or you can just, comments are not a problem on a tablet. You can speak your comment into the student, and the comment appears in the student's composition. It can be done on the fly. It's really a fast way to work. I really like that that way. Okay, so... iPad or a tablet, the iPad in particular, also has a desktop view. And in the desktop view, I've made tutorials for you to find it if you need it, but you can actually get the full tool set if you go in an iPad to desktop view. Now, what I used to try to do was to insert images. That was impossible on iPad, believe it or not. Well, not impossible. You had to go into the desktop view. But it was difficult to insert an image. That's corrected just last year. desktop view, the voice doesn't work, although it's on the keyboard. Go back to that. As you see on the keyboard, there's a microphone, but that actually doesn't work in the desktop view. So you don't get voice, and you don't. Normally, if I use the desktop view to insert a picture, I will go back to the iPad view, work on it. Okay, so anyway, this is how you used to do it. I had tutorials showing you how to upload pictures into Google Docs on an iPad, a tablet. I was showing this in the ISTE workshop, and these guys, this is one of the guys, I took his pictures. It wasn't actually him that showed me, but he happened to be sitting next to me, but someone at this table said, oh no, you can do that. You don't have to go to a desktop view. There's a plus here. So going from an article published by Jeff Herb, September 25th, 2014, when I was trying to find this feature and I was preparing these materials, actually working with my class in 2014, early 2015, there was no such feature. But nowadays, there's a plus. They put it there just recently. So you click on the plus, and you can add comments, images, or a table. Three choices there when I last looked. So it's not so difficult now to insert things like word clouds. So word clouds are kind of fun. Do you use word clouds? They're fun to put into writing. Here's a sample of another ISTE writing topic. Advantages and disadvantages of taking a job while working in college. So that's a good one for, I meant IELTS. That's an IELTS writing topic. Okay, advantages and disadvantages of things. And so there is an app, by the way. Word clouds may not generate if you go through the browser. There is an app, and it's called Word Clouds by abcya.com. So if you search for that in the stores, in the iPad store, in the Apple store, you'll find that app. And I haven't actually looked for it on an Android device. But anyhow, when you install that, then you can generate word clouds, and you can easily insert them now in the document. So that's kind of a cool feature. I like that. Okay, so getting students to use word clouds to write, giving feedback, voice. As I mentioned, I didn't actually include this in the slideshow, and I should have, but one way that I work with the students is I found that I have them spend some time in class writing out something on their iPad, and then I'll read that back into Google Doc for them. I have them write on the iPad in a shared document. Then I'll go back to that document that they've shared with me, and I'll read what they have written. Oh, sorry. I'm misspeaking myself. I have them write on paper. I have them take paper because it's easier for them. I have them take paper and write out on paper a draft of something they're going to write. They don't usually get a lot done during a class period, so it's not that difficult for me to go back. And then I have them share a document with me. Then in that shared document, I read into it what they've written on the paper. That's a good way to start. And Nellie asks, do they know how to write on paper? They know how to write on paper. My students, they're Arabic students. They are very used to writing on paper. They don't like to write on iPad so much. They have a little trouble with the keyboard. They're okay on PCs. So they can usually write pretty well there. But I'm just finding that the iPad is a little difficult for them to get started on. But once they've written something, they've crashed out something on paper, if I read it back into the Google Doc for them, then they have something they can actually work on in the iPad version. So then I can make comments there, and they can change what they've written and augment it. Okay, well anyway, I've also found some other tools, which I'll wrap up with here. Plan B is Dragon Dictation, because actually in practice I find that sometimes the icon for voice doesn't actually work on the keyboard. You know, the keyboard icon is there, but it might be grayed out for some reason. You know, maybe students have to, they may have to start their iPads, or maybe have to reinstall something. But anyway, when you come to the situation in class where students are using voice and voice doesn't work, I find that dragon dictation usually does work. Dragon dictation is kind of neat. I spoke this into dragon dictation. I said this is an example of speaking into dragon app for iPad. The problem is it's inconvenient. The sentence begins and ends. I have to use the keyboard for that. Also, I can't see what's being written. I'm speaking, and finally, I have to export my computer through email from some other means. Actually, sometimes I use dragon dictation in my car, and when I speak into dragon dictation, I can't see what it's doing until I stop the recording. I can't really see the writing. It doesn't show the writing out for me. And also, I didn't know about the voice commands, which I later found out about, and here they are. There are punctuation voice commands. So, for example, you can say, Dear Adam, comma, new line, thank you for sending this over to me, period. It's a huge help, exclamation point, and that will actually punctuate for you and make it a lot easier. So I didn't know about those. There's a link to Lifehacker, how to talk to your Mac using dictation effectively. That link will be on the slide share. So that was a really neat thing to find out about eventually. I kind of feel foolish sometimes. I don't, you know, you never know everything when you start out, and then you start giving presentations and you tell people how to do things and find out later, oh, there's a better way. So that's a nice thing about repeating presentations. I get to actually correct some of my earlier mistakes. So meanwhile, over on the PC side, there's this, oh, sorry. Oh, one more thing about dragon dictation. I find, you know, if I'm in front of the class and hook my iPad up to a screen, the dragon dictation, if I elicit from the students something that, like the sample advantages and disadvantages essay. So I was talking with students just to give them format for advantages and disadvantages and giving them to tell me, give me things, and then I would read that into the dragon dictation. Some students say that having no marks from previous exams is demotivating for them in studying for future exams. It's a problem where I work. Marks come very slowly. In this essay, we'll look at some advantages of a system that doesn't report marks to students in a timely manner. Okay, so the students will talk to me, and I'll talk into the dragon dictation, and then I'll produce a model conversation for them, and that all comes up on my iPad at the head of the class. It's legible for them, and it's just a nice way of dragon dictation. Modeling is so powerful, Peggy said. Okay, so now, by the way, I can see it on the iPad, can you dictate it directly into an email message? On the iPad into an email message, yes, you can. You can dictate into email. Sometimes I'll do that, again, in my car. I find from connectivity, the messages don't always send, so that's why I try to use something like dragon dictation, which at least keeps it on the iPad until you get back to where you can send it yourself somewhere. So, but yes, you can find all kinds of places, the little voice tool, and I'm finding them all the time. Okay, so yeah, dictating while driving. It's kind of. By the way, I should say that my wife usually drives. I'm not dictating while driving. That. My wife is driving, I'm in the car as a passenger and dictating to myself, putting something there and harvesting it later. Okay, so on the PC side, there's a really neat tool. I really like this one. It's called Dictanote.co, and it's a plugin for Chrome, but I think if you just go to the site, you can also use it maybe in any browser. I'm not really sure. But what Dictanote is that when you're at your computer, you can start speaking into your computer, and it comes out in a notepad. And if you can imagine, you're able to use the mouse, and on the fly, you can see it. You don't have that problem where things appear, and it's difficult to go back and correct them because you've got to go press on that letter in the tablet. This one, you can use your mouse and you can go back as like in a word processor. So I really find that this is a really good way. This is actually what I use if I want to transcribe something, like if I have an audio that I want the students practice. For example, I teach pilot cadets, and they have to understand air traffic control conversations. So we have recordings of those, and I have that. I want to make a transcript of it. I can listen to that on one thing, and I can speak it into Dictanote. And that works pretty quickly. It basically goes in the ear, out through my fingers onto Dictanote, and then as I'm speaking it, if I need to make a correction, I can stop and correct and go back and pick up more. So it's just a faster way to work. Okay, I think we're almost done here. Any questions? I'll be wrapping up, I believe. If you go to slideshare.net/fancyest, you'll find this presentation. And you'll find this slide, which will give you a hyperlink to a written text version. I've been working on this for some time. I think the written text version is pretty much up to date. And you have two links there. One is to my blog post in Teacher's Toolkit for Learning, one of my blogs, and also to a Google Doc, a tiny URL to Google Doc. I think I did this at ISTE, but then I updated it in the meantime, so it's pretty up to date as for this one. I've also given this presentation before, similar ones. I rehearsed it in Learning Together session, and there you can find a link to that if you'd like to endure this again sometime. And then there's a wiki portal for the presentation, the one we did in ISTE. So as I said, the difference between the ISTE presentation and this one is that in ISTE it was a workshop, and it was meant to engage people, I think, for 15 minutes or something like that, maybe even 45. Anyway, basically getting them doing things, and that's why we're using it. So if you're in a face-to-face situation, you'll find today's meet very useful for compiling a lot of information from people in a crowd. But in an online environment, it's not a workshop, so I just adapted this to kind of tell you what to do. So I hope you've benefited from it. This is pretty much what I had to say. And do you have any questions? I don't know. I'm stopping right on time, actually, so I'll let Nellie take over and moderate from here. Response to Peggy.
Absolutely amazing. I wish we could go on.
Say that again?
Yeah. Peggy, does anyone want to speak? We've got a couple of seconds, okay. A couple of minutes.
Oh.
So Vance, if you want to pass on the mic, yeah, feel free.
Okay.
I only said 10 minutes just to make sure that we don't, you know, yeah, it's okay. Just to be on the safe side.
I was just saying to Peggy that all my slides are, I always create slides so that the links, the hyperlinks will work. If I use a photo, I'll give its source and a hyperlink for it. So everything in the slideshow is all, you can go out to more information sources on any of my slides that I create. And then this one also has QR codes. That was, of course, for the face-to-face audience. In any event, they will work here, so if you have a QR code reader, you can pop onto that slide and drop into the portal presentation. Everyone, modeling is...
Yeah.
Yes? That's what we do in Learning Together.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest
that's what Nellie
coffee
does.
Chat there.
Nellie's a great model, too.
Vance, you're the model. We're all following you. You have no idea how much. You're very modest, but I don't think we would be here, and I wouldn't be here, certainly, if it weren't for you and your leadership these past 11, for me anyways, 11 years?
Well, I'm...
11? Is it only 11?
I'm more a seed.
Yes.
You guys are blossoming, and then you're modeling. We all improve.
Yeah, it's all about learning together. So in any case, Vance, everyone's welcome to join the next session. It's coming to us from the United States with Agile Bill. I don't know if anyone knows him, but you should. He's basically in Second Life and in virtual worlds. So he's really someone to follow as well. So there's the link, click on that, and we'll be starting in about 6 minutes. This has been Learning Together. Today is August 9th, 2015, and we are here with Vance. Thank you, Vance. I wish we could go on because these sessions are very, very engaging, and they provide us with lots of modeling. So this was also recorded and will be available on YouTube as well as on Vimeo for those who don't get YouTube. And on audio, but Vance is probably arranging for us. MP3? No? Oh. If not, we'll be able to convert it to MP3.
Saying goodbye or?
Yes.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Nice to see you.
And see
you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.